Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone. This is Tree Smith on this beautiful day of God's grace. I hope everyone is enjoying their Sunday. As y'all know, I'm here every Sunday at 6 p.m. to share stories of passionate entrepreneurs that love to share their passion about their business, their life goals, and, you know, to get some insights on the background, how they began pursuing their passion. And sharing with others gives some people influence to get started in their lives of sharing, doing what they're passionate about. And as y'all know, I have guests come on every Sunday to share those stories with us. And today, our VIP guest is Derek Fletcher. As a speaker, coach, and author, Mr. Fletcher gives individuals and organizations life-changing tools to be effective in their personal and professional relationships. Derek adds value to his clients by addressing issues of communication, productivity, and increasing profits. Derek places his expertise at the disposal of his audience. He is an expert in the area of helping people maximize their potential and increasing the quality of their relationship. Derek is a well-sought-out keynote speaker, workshop facilitator, and coach. His sessions are filled with thought-provoking content, human and particular methods for success both personally and professionally. Today, listeners, I'd like to invite that y'all speak with Derek Fletcher. Hi, Mr. Fletcher. How you doing today? Introduce yourself to my listeners and give us a little background about yourself.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for having me. I want to tell you, first of all, and thank you. I really appreciate having an opportunity to connect with your audience. And like you said, my name is Derek Fletcher, and as you were reading my bio, sometimes you hear your bio and you're like, man, that guy sounds interesting. And a little bit about myself. I'm not necessarily the most interesting person in the world. However, I've done a lot of interesting things. And so my first business actually was, I was a fashion designer, and I got involved in fashion design because I saw a problem. And that problem was my pants were flooding, and because I was 6'7", and I didn't really have a hard time sometimes finding clothes. And so I started designing clothes for people like myself who are tall, and also regular mm-hmm. people. From you know, my first business in fashion design, I continued to do different things in marketing and advertising, and also working in the space of different nonprofits. And then I went to there from being a nonprofit. I was a youth pastor for several years. Over almost close to 20 years, and just working in the capacity of working with kids. And I saw a lot of different things as a youth pastor and mm-hmm. working with families. And one of the things that I saw with working with families was that the children were suffering because the parents were suffering. And unfortunately, I was one of those individuals where my children began to suffer because of the relationship that was being presented challenging in my own home. And so in 2010, I went through a challenging time of my life where I went through a divorce, and my wife filed mm-hmm. for a divorce. And it was just one of those, challenging situations where I was like, man, this is crazy. And so, in my healing process, I went to my pastor and I was like, man, I'm really hurting right now. Really don't know what to do. I'm really struggling. And he said, you know what? He called me Fletcher. He said, Fletcher, you got a problem with being vulnerable. And I'm like, what are you talking about? I mean, what does that look like? He said, you got commitment issues. I was like, wait a minute. I was married for 16 years. What do commitment issues look like to a person that has been with somebody since they were in college? And I was like, just because you're with somebody doesn't mean that you're committed to them. And you can never be really committed to a person until you're actually vulnerable with that person, but you have to be vulnerable with yourself. And so throughout that healing process, I begin to journal and really begin to ask myself, what makes a good relationship? What makes a good relationship when people, whether you're single, whether you're dating, whether you're married? And I started to journal and ask myself these questions and sometimes come up with my own answers. And then I started seeking out other people and asking, okay, what do you think makes a good relationship? And so it came about to where I had ended up interviewing and asking over 100 people the question of what makes a good relationship. So then after all those people and after my own personal journey, my own personal journaling and the study of human behavior, I was like, man, this is some good stuff. So let's write a book. And so the book just came out to be Disgustingly Beautiful, The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Couples, A Practical Guide to Better Relationships. And one of the key things that I did within those relationships and in those studies and in asking those questions, I did a lot of influence from my corporate experiences. My corporate experiences and really begin to understand what makes a good relationship in corporate experiences, I got an opportunity to really begin to understand the same thing that makes a good relationship on paper or in business are the same principles that make a relationship good in your personal life. We don't always think about the principles of what makes a good relationship, because the same principles apply. You need honesty in a relationship, whether it's at a business or whether you're with your boo thing. You need good communication within an organization in order for it to be successful, but you need good communication in your personal relationship. You need finances in order to run a business, and guess what? You're going to need some finances in your personal relationships as well. And I really begin to understand that all these different things that we are struggling with, the answers are always there, but we don't always embrace the answers. And so for me, one of the things that really stuck out was communication. And so now what I do is I help individuals and organizations all over the country and even in outside of the U.S. really begin to understand what it's going to take to be successful. Because poor communication will cost you. It cost me in my previous relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't want to pay the price in order to communicate, you will pay the price for poor communication.
Yes, and I agree with you with that. I know that you be speaking about three barriers of good communication. Could you share with the listeners what you meant? You know, three barriers of good communication.
Studying on me, huh?
Yes.
So there are actually over 10 barriers of communication. There are actually, but I talk about the top three, the barriers of communication. And one of those barriers is what we call not being able to listen. Just listening. Listening is a big barrier of communication. Now, here's the thing about listening. Listening is the byproduct of three things. Okay? So this is just one area of listening. So listening is a byproduct of three things. Number one, value. Number two, appreciation. Number three, understanding. So let me break that down.
Okay.
In order for me to actually have an opportunity to listen to you, I have to see you as valuable. But in order for me to even see you as valuable, I have to value myself first. So how could I ever value anyone else outside of the value that I have for myself? Because if I don't value me, guess what? I'm not going to value you. So that's the first thing. In order to listen, you got to understand what value is. Second thing is appreciation. We have to really understand that the person who is speaking or the person that has something to say, we have to appreciate them. But guess what? If I don't value you, I can't appreciate you. And here's the thing about appreciation. We don't have to agree in order for me to appreciate you. But I can appreciate you. But first I have to value you. And then from value, and then from appreciation, I have to be able to be willing to understand. Understanding has two parts. One, I have to be willing to understand you or seek to understand you.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to be willing to understand. So I have to seek and I have to be willing. Because guess what? I'm not going to listen to you if I'm not even trying to understand you. I'm not going to listen to you if I don't even try to appreciate what you have to say. And then I'm not going to listen to you if I'm not even valuing you as a person. So when we add up all those three, the value system or number one, valuing, number two, appreciation, number three, understanding, that opens up the door for listening. So if you're experiencing challenges within your personal space, if you're experiencing challenges of connecting with people who are in your life and it seems like there's a barrier between you and that particular person, the thing about it is, first you have to value them, appreciate them, and seek to understand them. Because most of the time when we talk about understanding, we automatically label people for something that's really not in their life. So it looks like this. I'm not going to seek to understand you, right? And part of understanding you is learning about your past, learning about the history, why you do what you do. Because if I don't care why you do what you do, then guess what? I will never understand what you do or even what you say. So listening or active listening is one of those things that is a barrier to our communication.
Mm-hmm.
One more that I'll say because I don't want to take up all the time. Barrier. Oh, okay, cool. Another barrier of effective communication is what we call tuning out. We tune people out all the time. People are talking. Some of y'all are tuning me out right now. Some of y'all are tuning me out. Why? Because you don't like what I'm saying. So you're thinking about what you're going to eat for dinner. You're thinking about what's going on at the street. Some of you thinking about the game that's about to come on TV. Some of you watching the game. And so we're multitasking all time, and we don't really have an opportunity to connect. My upcoming book is called Don't Just Talk, Connect. And what that really is talking about, that we know how to use words, but we don't know how to use connection. And we tune people out all the time in order to really just get our agenda. And when we really just focus on our agenda, we're not presenting an atmosphere for connection. We're not presenting an atmosphere for forward thinking. We're not presenting an atmosphere to accomplish. And for anything to happen in any arena, whether it's professional, whether it's personal, it takes connection. Think about your Wi-Fi, your phone, your TV, your internet. It won't work until you have that right Wi-Fi code. You need the right access code in order to connect to the Wi-Fi. And when we're talking to people, we really have to tune in, really seek to value them, really seek to appreciate them, really seek to understand where they're coming from in order for us to be tuned in what they're trying to say. Because two heads are always better than one. But if I'm tuning you out, I'm thinking that my head is better or my answers are better than yours. So guess what? I'm not even going to listen to you. And then the other barrier of communication that we come across and that we do so often, we don't even know that we're doing it, is the simple fact that is we don't appreciate the people that are saying something to us. And so I know I mentioned it in listening, but it goes deeper. It goes deeper to the fact that, you know what, I don't even care what this person has to say. You don't care? No, I don't care what you have to say. Because, see, I can't care for what you have to say if I don't care for you. So it's a cycle. It's a cycle. It's a never-ending cycle that we have to really begin to really get to understand. In order for effective communication to really take place in our lives, we've got to start by caring. We've got to start by understanding the value of people. We've got to start tuning in to really get an opportunity to really connect with people on what they have to say, how they have to say it. Because at the end of the day, communication touches every area of our life. Communication is like the oil that's in your car. Let me tell you a quick story.
Okay, go ahead.
Three times in my life, I've had to change the engine of my car. Three times.
Okay.
And so first time, it cost me about $1,200. Second time, it cost me about $3,000. And the third time, it was so expensive that I couldn't even afford to do it. And so what I learned, and I was young during those situations, I got a car at 17. You know, I just got in the car and just started driving. Didn't know about changing the oil and all these different types of things. But anyway, as I did that, my uncle was like, hey, man, you ran the engine into the ground. Well, how did I run the engine to the ground? You never changed the oil. Well, how often do I need to change the oil? Well, you have to change the oil 3,000 times, every 3,000 miles. Well, when was it supposed to do that? Well, you got to pay attention. And so what I began to realize in those situations, if I had just changed the oil in those cars, I could have saved the engine. I could have saved myself. Now, oil change is $35 to $75, depending on the type of car you have and the quality car, car you have. So rather than focusing on the $35 every 3,000 miles, I had to fix the engine at $1,200. I had to fix the engine at $3,000. I had to fix the engine when it exploded. But I learned a valuable lesson that maintenance is always cheaper than repair. So when we look at our lives, when we look at the things that are going place in our business, in our relationship, if you're married, you know, you need to maintain your relationship rather than repair it. If you're in the business, you need to learn how to communicate with your team. You need to learn how to communicate with people that you're involved with more than just trying to get a problem or fix a problem. So maintenance is always cheaper than the repair. And what the oil was to my car, communication is to your life. And if you don't learn how to communicate, it will cost you. It will cost you in your relationships. It will cost you in your business. It will cost you in your personal space, in your professional space, and in your professional space. It will cost you. And like I said earlier, are you willing to pay the price for poor communication or the price to communicate? Which one do you want to pay for? Because many people don't want to invest in themselves. They just want to repair. Yeah. Marcus Garvey said it this way. He said it is easier to raise a boy than it is to repair a man. So what is the situation in your life that you need to begin to maintain? Because communication is the answer or holds the answer to every problem you're having in your life. Because when communication gets better, everything gets better. I don't care if it's your business. I don't care if it's your relationship with your parents, your relationship with your kids, your relationship with your husband, relationship with your wife. Communication gets everything gets better when we learn how to communicate and relate and connect with other people. But once again, the challenge is many people think they're communicating when they're actually just talking.
That's so true. I agree with you that. I have a listener sent me a message to ask you. She said, as herself, she was married for about 16 years, and she said she figured out it was poor communication because he didn't ever want to communicate all the decisions up to her. He didn't get no feedback. His ideal of a relationship was like, you know, whatever she want to do, you know, just let it happen. You make the decisions. And it came to a point how you mentioned, she's saying how you mentioned about comparing, you know, as a man. She said she thinks that's where his issues came from, of, you know, from his childhood.
Oh, yeah. Everything is a stem, is an extension of our past experiences and our childhood experiences. So sometimes we got to go back. We got to go back and dig in the crates and really begin to understand where did this come from. And so oftentimes, you know, I get a lot of questions from women all the time. Well, my husband doesn't want to communicate. He doesn't want to talk. It's not that your husband doesn't want to talk. It's just that you're speaking a different language that he speaks. So the key is not about using words. It's about using connection. What gets his excitement? What gets his attention? Then you use that in order to communicate and connect with him. If he's a sports guy, then you talk in sports terms or talk in terms of team. Well, I'm just trying to get him to take out the garbage. Well, what you have to do is you have to paint the picture that, hey, baby, we're not just husband and wife. We are a team.
And in order for the team to win the Super Bowl, you got a star player and you got role players. And then sometimes the star player even has to play a role. So here's the thing. I want you to take out the garbage. And here's the thing. This is how the garbage plays a part in our life. I don't want the house to stink, because when the house stinks, I get in a bad attitude, or it makes me feel a certain way, or it makes my stomach queasy, whatever the situation is. But you have to paint a clear picture for him in order to see the importance of it. Nagging him is not going to get you nowhere. But if you paint the picture of, hey, baby, we are a team, and I want us to work together as a team, and here's the play I want you to run. Every Thursday night, you know the garbage come on Friday morning, I would love for you to take out the trash, because this is what it does for me. And when that happens, I feel this way. And when I feel that way, guess what? I want to make love to you. I want to, you know, men like rewards. So
right.
We have to once again paint that picture of where it's rewarding him, not the necessary point of nagging him. And so then I get the question, well, how many times am I going to have to tell him in order for him to understand? Guess what? As many times as he needs it in order to make that connection. Mm-hmm. Because sometimes, guess what? Plug in your password. It doesn't always work on the first one, because maybe you missed a word or a digit,
right,
or something where it didn't actually connect. And then you got to do it over again. So just because you told him Tuesday doesn't mean that you're automatically not going to have to tell him on Wednesday. But the thing about it is, if you bring it to the point of connection, and not just words, then we can get some results going.
Sounds great. Listen, has another question. Well, she said she's really making a statement. She said, like, her husband, after 20 years, he wondered, as the kids got older, he realized when they got older that he didn't have a relationship with them. And she said it's because if they try to talk to you, you always sit them to me.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me that message. And I hear a lot of people say that too. You know, the fathers realized as their kids got older, they had a relationship, but they didn't have a relationship they thought they had. It's because they always told the kids to turn to their mother.
Well, this is what we do. This mm-hmm. is what happens challenging with husbands and wives. They focus so much energy on being a good father, being a good mother, that they forget about being a good husband. They forget about being a good wife. And you cannot neglect your husband or your wife for the sake of the children, because children come through us.
That's right.
And when they come through us, what we have to do is, I manage the relationship of a father. I manage the relationship of a wife. But my priority is my husband. My priority is to be with my husband and my wife, because these children are only going to be there for a certain amount of time. So I can't put all my energy in being a father. I can't put all my energy in being a mother. I got to make sure that I'm nurturing that relationship. See, what we and my wife do, we have a vision board for every
mm-hmm.
year. We have a vision board every year of places we want to go, things we want to do, people we want to see, things we want to accomplish. And what that vision does, here's what a vision and a purpose does for your relationship. It gives you a common goal and a common enemy. See, when I have a common goal, we have something to fight for. When we have a common enemy, we don't have time to fight each other. So if we're
okay.
focused on the goals that we're supposed to accomplish, if we're focused on what we're going after, guess what? I don't got time to fight you over frivolous stuff or silly stuff. We got stuff to accomplish. And so that's what the purpose and the vision does for your family. So here it is. Yes, you're supposed to have children, or if you desire children, you have children, you rear them up, you nurture them. But don't forget that man. Don't forget that wife. That is there, that is supposed to be there after these children leave.
Right.
When the children come there on the timetable, hey, y'all got 18 to 21 years to get y'all stuff together. Now I'm going to put everything I can put in you in order to make sure that you're a healthy and quality citizen, providing for our society. But guess what? Me and your mama got plans. Me and your mama got stuff that we got to do. and you are a part of those plans. But guess what? After you get up out of here, we got more stuff to do. So here's the thing. Like I said, we get lost in the sauce of being mommy and daddy. Don't forget, mommy and daddy were sexy at one time. Mommy and daddy had it going on at one time, and you can't lose that. So in communication, sometimes me and my wife, we lay in the bed, we turn off the TV, and we just pillow talk. We talk about how our day was. So me and my wife, we call this checking the pulse of our relationship. So if you're taking notes, this is a good time to take notes. And we ask each other three questions. Mm-hmm. First question is, I ask her, how are you doing? I'm checking the pulse of the relationship. I'm asking, how's she doing? I'm asking how she's doing because I want to know what's going on with her internally. I want to know what's going on with her emotionally. I want to know what's going on with her socially. I want to know what's going on with her, who she is. Then I turn around as she finished asking that. I said, well, how am I doing? Because I want a report card of what things that I may need to do, areas that I need to accomplish or improve in. So first I'm checking on her. Then I'm checking on me to see what I need to improve in. And then the third question I ask is, how are we doing? How are we doing as husband and wife? What areas am I falling short in? What do we need to do in order to enhance the quality of our relationship? So the question number one, how are you doing? Question number two, how am I doing? Question number three, how are we doing? And what that does, it gives us the opportunity to really share and care about one another. Now, I want to talk to the men for a second. Men, I do a teaching call. Don't just pay bills, pay attention. Your wife, if you're complaining that she don't have enough energy for y'all when it's come to time to be intimate, you want to complain that she's always tired, then you need to take something off her plate. You need to take something off her responsibility, take over that responsibility, and that would be her recharge time. And so when she has that recharge time, now that's your time. So you sit down with your wife, you say, hey, baby, what are some of the things that you got to do this week? And so I got to run to the store. I got to go grocery shopping. I got to pick up the kids. I got to do this. I got to do that. And so you get that list and say, I'm going to take 3 and 4 off your plate so you can have time to recharge, because when daddy get home, he want to connect with you. But see, you don't want to do the work that it's going to require in order to connect with your wife. But if you do that work on a habitual basis, you will have opportunity to connect with her. Because the first thing that you're doing is you're giving her her energy back. The second thing you're doing is you're showing her that you care. And if you show her that you care, then guess what? She's going to show you how much she cares about you.
I agree with you with that. One listener, she also asked a question. She said, do you feel as we get older and we get into our own relationship that sometimes we base our relationships on our parents?
Yes, that we can definitely fall. You do that before you get older.
Okay.
See, you learn everything from your parents by one or two ways, by what you saw or what you didn't see. That's how you shape your relationship. You shape your relationship on what you see or what you didn't see. So many of us had great relationships with our parents, and we want to be just like mom and dad. So we try to mimic what they did. But guess what? That was mom and daddy's relationship. That's not your relationship. But then on the flip side, you put into a point where, hey, my mom, I didn't have this and I didn't have that, so I want it in my relationship. But you got to have that conversation. You got to be able to have that communication. Is that what you want in your relationship, or is that what's going to work for your relationship?
Right.
Because you hold – see, think of your relationship as an art canvas. Think of your relationship as an art canvas. It's a blank surface. It's a blank canvas. You got the brushes. You got the paint. And you can paint the picture how you want it. It's not a coloring book where you have to color in the line. It's an open canvas where you can create what you want it to look like. And when you make the decision to create your own relationship, when you make the decision to paint the picture that you want and desire, the vision that you have for your relationship, you now know what needs to be done. Well, I'm not a good person. I'm not good with finances. But my husband is. Then guess what? Then maybe he should handle the finances. Well, I'm not a good communicator, but my wife is. Well, ask her, hey, baby, how do I connect with you? What's the best way for me to communicate and connect with you? Because once again, we're not pocketing ourselves. We're not putting ourselves in confinement. We can do anything and everything we want to do in our relationship, both professionally and personally. But it all comes back to who's holding the brush, who's dipping in the paint, and what picture do we want to paint? I'm not confined by what my mom and dad did. I'm not confined what I didn't have in this last relationship. I'm not going to try to punish my husband, my wife, for something that my last relationship didn't have. I got a new slate. And in order to do that, I got to forgive myself first and forgive those people. And then I have to be willing to embrace communication. I have to be willing to embrace what my life, what my relationship could actually look like in order to have the relationship that I want.
That's so true. And as you say, I think a lot of us do that. We start new relationships, and sometimes we bring the mentality from the old relationship, and we want it to be different, but we ain't thought about it. You know, like, it's something that we need to be changed. What was wrong in the first one?
Yeah, you know what that's like? That's like going to Burger King and asking for a number one from the McDonald's menu. That's you can't get a Big Mac at McDonald's. I mean, you can't get a Big Mac at Burger King. If that's the case, you better go back to McDonald's. You at Burger King now. Let's look at their menu and see what they're working with. And guess what? I can't order something at Burger King and then go back and pay McDonald's. So the key is healing. Many times we don't take an opportunity to heal from previous relationships.
Right.
And here's the thing. How do I know if I'm healed from a previous relationship? If your current partner does the same thing or something similar to the last relationship, you don't retaliate as if it was a brand new. When I get cut on my hand, if the wound is not healed, it's still tender. So anybody that touches it, I'm going to really feel it. But if once the wound is healed, it doesn't affect me anymore. So you may have to pay attention in your life and like, are there any wounds that I'm still holding on to that I'm making people pay for? Are there things that are still sensitive to me from my previous relationship, from my last marriage or from my last relationship that I haven't really addressed? Because if not, you're going to make that current partner pay for that last partner's invoice.
Yes, that is so true. One listener, she asked, do you think counseling is good for relationships?
Oh, I definitely think counseling is good for relationships. However, both parties need to be open to counseling, and both parties need to be open to coaching. Now, here's the thing. With men, men are more apt to be open to coaching than they are to counseling. And the reason why, once again, going back to speaking their language, men think counselor of they're going to sit down and listen to somebody who's going to tell them what to do. But most men who may have been in an athletic arena, they'll listen to a coach. So in the aspect of do I think coaching is helpful, yes, it is. However, here's the thing. Counseling is not a fix-all to your relationship. You still have to do the work. Just going there and talking to people or going there and listening to people, that's not it. I now got to go home. When I go home, I got to put in application or practice what I talked about. Let me back up a little bit. Now, you're listening to a guy that used to think all women were crazy. I used to think all women were crazy. After I got divorced, after You know, I went through that whole ordeal. I started dating again. I'm like, man, these women out here are crazy, dog. Good grief. What is going on?
Right.
And so then I got some coaching. I got some counseling. And I began to realize it's not the women. It's me. So I had to take full ownership of what I brought to the table. I had to take full ownership of my shortcomings. I had to take full ownership of what I did. Because if I didn't take ownership of it, guess what? You will never conquer what you're not willing to confront. So I had to confront my inability to communicate. I had to confront my vulnerability issues. I had to confront my abandonment issues. I had to confront my 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 issues. And once I so I met my current wife. I met her online. I met her online on an online dating website. So I met her, and I was coming out of coaching and coming out of counseling and all this type of stuff. And so I said, you know what, I'm going to – because, see, I was Mr. Smoke and Mirrors. I was Mr. Liar. I used to lie a lot in my relationships. So the night that I finally got an opportunity to talk to her verbally on the phone, I said to myself, Daryl, you're not going to lie. We're not going to, you know, do no smoke and mirrors. We're going to be 100% honest with this lady. So I said to her, I said this phrase. I don't know why I'm telling you this, but I told her some deep, dark secret about myself. Stuff that I wouldn't normally tell, stuff that I would normally keep a secret.
Right.
I said that maybe about 30 times on that night, on that conversation. And because I had the ability to be transparent about my insecurity, because I had the ability to be transparent about everything that I had went through, all the ordeals, she was now in a position to make a quality decision, do I like this guy or not? But she can't make a quality decision based upon a lie.
Right.
So I had to be willing to confront my issues. I had to be willing to confront what I was going through, all that type of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
When I did that, the whole world opened up for me. One of my coaches and mentors, he says this. He says, when you ask the universe the right questions, the universe will open up to you. So are we asking ourselves the right questions? Are we asking ourselves the pivotal questions that we need to know in order to excel our life? Or are we asking or saying things that will contract our lives?
Right.
So that's my story, and I'm sticking to it.
And I agree with you that I think a lot of things in our relationships, business-wise and personal-wise, it is the insecurities that we have inside. And as you said, we don't face it. And I think at some point in our life when we do face them insecurities and deal with them, I do think it changes our mindset about different things, you know, especially as communicating. You said, and it was funny that you said that because a listener had sent a question in, and she was like, she felt like her relationship 21 years was based on lies.
Yeah.
That was funny that you had just brought that up. Because she said she felt that her husband always tried to please everyone, and he wasn't happy with himself. That's what she sent to you.
That was me. That was me. To be real candid and real open with you, In my last marriage that I was in, I was Mr. Please It, and I was Mr. Fix It, and I was Mr. I want to make people happy, and that mentality got me into a lot of trouble, and it got me in a lot of trouble because I started trying to please people who didn't belong to me, and forgot about pleasing the person that did belong to me.
That's
and when you do that. It's just a simple issue. We really begin to understand that, you know what, your priorities are out of whack, and your insecurities are leading the way. And because I just wanted to be pleased, I wanted to be happy, I wanted people to like me.
Right.
But that's not important. That's not the priority of the situation.
Right. And I agree with you with that. I had a listener. She said, "Could you get?" Oh, she wanted to know the name of your book.
The name of my book is called Disgustingly Beautiful, The Good, Bad, and Ugly of Couples. It is available on Amazon, or you can go to my website, lovelogisticscircle.com, and we'll be more than happy to get you an autographed copy. If you order off of Amazon, you won't get an autographed copy. If you do order off of our website, you get an autographed copy and personalized signature by myself. Just go to lovelogisticscircle.com, and we'll be more than happy to get you an autographed copy. My wife and I, like I said, we do vision board parties. We did a love walk yesterday. We'll be in Dominican Republic, in August, talking about marriage and talking about the importance of communication. We'll be in Orlando, Florida, at the National Relationship Council, talking about the sex is great, but we still can't communicate. That just speaks to the fact that many times we have a great physical relationship, but our communication sucks. And many times people find themselves in those type of situations where we don't have no problem in the bedroom, but it's when we get outside the bedroom where the problem exists. So it's just one of those things that we really focus on the commitment of communication, because it's so important and it's so vital that we take that opportunity to really begin to understand how we can relate to one another.
Right. I appreciate you, Daryl, coming on here today, sharing it with us, and I'm sure you have gotten to a lot of listeners who had, you know, was thinking the same things that you were speaking about, and maybe, you know, gave them some clarity on it. So let everyone know how to reach you, you know, where they can come in here and speak at. I have one question. A lady says they have a relationship group at church. Do you speak at churches? That's what she wanted to know.
I do speak at churches. I am a licensed minister. If you give me an email at info@lovelogisticscircle.com, my wife and I will be more than happy to come and share and connect with your audience and help them improve the quality of their relationships. Like I said, we do a couple vision board parties, and what a vision board does is just really gives you an opportunity to bring clarity to your relationship. So if you would like for me and my wife to come, or just myself, who it doesn't matter, just send me an email at info@lovelogisticscircle.com, and we'll be more than happy to connect with you. Or you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Love Logistics Circle. Or if you want to follow me personally, my website is Daryl Fletcher Speaks. That's Daryl with one R, FletcherSpeaks.com, or Daryl Fletcher Speaks on social media across the board, Instagram, Twitter, and what's that other one? Facebook. So, yeah. I would love to connect with you. If you have a question about a relationship question, I'm on 108.9 every other Friday answering relationship questions.
Okay.
So you can send those relationship questions, and we'll be more than happy to connect with you and answer your question and give you some tools that you can help improve the quality of your relationship as well.
And you said it was 108.9 every Friday?
Every other Friday. So I'll be on
every other
Friday. Yeah, so I'll be on there this Friday coming up. It's the second and fourth Friday of the month. So, yeah, 108.9.
Okay. Well, I thank you, Mr. Fletcher, for coming in and sharing. And, you know, I can see that you're passionate. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, be passionate in the heart about what you do and be willing to share with others, you know, to get people to open up to see different things, questions they have in the back of their mind. And sometimes it just takes that one person to speak to them about it, to get them on the right track, you know, their mindset, you know, have a different mindset to how to carry themselves.
Exactly.
And I appreciate you. Yeah, and I appreciate you coming on out your big schedule today, y'all. Mr. Fletcher actually was at a conference today speaking, and he took his time out to make sure he come on, and, you know, to share this with us. So I just really appreciate it, and you enjoy the rest of your day, and just thank you a lot for coming to share with us.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate the invite, and looking forward to connecting with you in the future and some of your listeners as well.
Okay. I appreciate it.
All right.
Thank you, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday.
You too.
Okay. Everyone, that was Daryl Fletcher sharing his relationship expertise with us. And you can reach him, as he said, DarrellFletcherSpeaks.com. And he'll be on 108.9 every other second and fourth Fridays of the month. You can call in for listening and have questions about your relationship. And as we say, y'all, it is about communication, whether it's professional or personal. Communication is the key of a good relationship. And sometimes we have to let things go of our past relationships and be honest with ourselves and love ourselves to build a relationship that we need. As y'all know, I'm Tree Smith, Free Your Mind on Blog Talk Radio. I'm here every Sunday at 6 p.m. Call in, listening to our expert guests that come on, our VIP guests that D-Rock Consultants present. And I thank y'all for the support, listening in every Sunday with the feedback and the questions. And I appreciate it. Everyone, enjoy the rest of their Sunday. Thank you.